Wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Good morning. For me, it's a Monday morning. For you, it might be Monday morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in the world, whatever time it is. Welcome to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your witchy doctor and change advocate. We are on the Inspired Choices Network because we are always inspiring new choices, new life, just enjoying your day. So today I have with me a guest, a very special guest from my heart, April Roman. April works with the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine, and that changed my life. And I'm so thankful that I met April along the way, and she encouraged me to do this fellowship, which really changed the trajectory of how I practice medicine and how I heal myself. And I hope after today, you will understand what integrative medicine really is, why it is a change maker, and why it is the new way forward for health and healing in, I hope, this country and the world. So thank you so much, April, for coming today to this podcast and being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to spend some time with you and to chat a little bit about some of what I know.
Yeah, you know a lot. My friends, for so many years, you know, for really probably the wealth of human history, patients had choices of therapists, right? You could go to the herbalist, you go to a midwife, you could choose a physician or a surgeon, a body worker, a spiritual healer, so many different kinds of healing. And each one is good for what it brings to the table, because we're not just a physical being. We have a mind, we're full of thoughts, we have a heart full of emotions. We're spiritual beings in this human body, and we have this human body and all of it, thoughts and emotions and spirit, work with the body to promote health and healing or to go down the route of sickness and illness. And modern medicine somehow, with the Flexner Report in the early 1900s, it was like a grab of power, and it changed the balance of power. And we also, with science, got more and more specialized with silos, and nothing in the body works in a silo. It all works together. And so integrative medicine is integrating all your cells with all the variety of healers. So we're going to talk about that today. So April, I'm going to ask you just, I'm curious because I don't know the answer to this. How did you find yourself? April has been with the Arizona program, the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine program, which is now also working with Thomas Jefferson University. So that's like, you know, you got your tentacles in and of itself in different programs. How did you even enter the integrative medicine field, right? You're basically the coordinator. You just pull everybody in. You're the octopus with all the, you know, the tentacles pulling everybody in. How did you even get into this world?
That's a great question. So I grew up in Hawaii, which is very part of who I am. And I'm going to tell a little funny story.
Love it. Yeah.
I was playing in a neighbor's mango tree one day.
Okay.
And my friend that lived on the other side of that neighbor's house and I were bowling mangoes out into the road, all the mangoes that had fallen to the ground. We're rolling them out in front of the cars. And the next day I woke up with a severe head, maybe even later that day. I don't remember. I was like 7 years old, a head to toe rash. I mean, I was in a lot of pain. It was really bad. And my mom took me to go see a naturopathic physician. And he was really, I wish I knew his name. He was just really cool guy. He pulled out this book and opened it up and showed little seven-year-old me how it was classic mango rash and how the mango tree was related to poison ivy. And some people, a lot of people have a reaction to poison ivy, and a lot of people have a really bad reaction to poison ivy. And so that like always has to this day stuck out in my mind. And when I always fill out forms and I say I'm allergic to mangoes, people look at me like, what? That's a weird allergy. We don't see that one a lot. So fast forward many years later to maybe like 35, 36-year-old me, I moved to Arizona. And I was like, I probably want to get a part-time job and just ease into work as I was getting my kids adjusted to a big move from Hawaii to Arizona and getting them settled in school and stuff like that. And I started just perusing the University of Arizona's website, and I eventually found this posting for this interesting doctor's name and interesting doctor of Dr. Low Dog. And I said, this sounds like a cool job. That kind of sounds like she kind of sounds like a cool person. I might want to work there. So I applied, and it was the only job that I was interested in and applied for. And I got it. And I just loved working at the university and working in integrative health and medicine as a non-clinician. And but getting to work really closely and side by side with all of the different clinicians that were there in the program in integrative medicine. And so that was kind of how I got started in it. So a little bit about, the passion and the history of what happened to me and seeing a naturopathic physician and then moving and looking for a job that just kind of and a person to work with directly that piqued my interest.
Love it. And for any of you who want to look up Dr. Tarone Low Dog, she was one of my, she started the fellowship that I did, and she's a amazing world-renowned herbalist and a physician, MD, and has had her own checkered fun career. But yeah, she, and I love that you bring up naturopath. I grew up, I'm a little bit older than you. I had never even heard of the word naturopathy or naturopathic. And it's funny because I think had I known about it, I probably would have applied to that kind of a medical school, and never even knew it existed, right? And so it's there are so many forms of medicine, right? Naturopathy, osteopathy, the Western medicine as allopathy. There's so much stuff. So you're at the University of Arizona, you're working with Dr. Low Dog, and tell us a little bit about kind of what your job was. Did you work for the fellowship there at the time?
Yeah, so I was very fortunate that my experiences there and at the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine has allowed me to work with pioneers. Dr. Weil founded the center there. Mimi Guarneri, AIHM, she's an integrative cardiologist, phenomenal. I worked closely with her for the last 10 years. So I got to work with a lot of pioneers, thought leaders, educators, innovators that shaped what integrative medicine is today. And integrative medicine over the decades, you will hear different people say different terms, holistic medicine, complementary and alternative medicine. And there's some differentiation between those. But I just love working in that environment and with all those people. And so I'm just really fortunate. And what I did originally was assist her a lot. She was the director of education and then the director of fellowship at that time. So I got to work closely with all of the fellows, but I really just helped her with anything and everything she needed. And then she transitioned out of the university. I think she took retirement. And I decided, I just love working there. So I stayed on for my last 4 years there and transitioned to being the director or coordinator for a program that was working directly with fourth-year medical students and residents that wanted to learn about integrative medicine. So it was that
Love
very
it.
pivotal moment in time where at the, before then, integrative medicine was kind of things that providers had to really seek out on their own, and they still do to some extent. But over the last 30, 20 to 30 years, it has shifted to be a little more mainstream and integrated into medicine education slowly and surely. So it was really unique to get to see this newer generation of people that are just getting in, right? Fourth year medical students and residents to choose to do a month, an elective rotation and come learn integrative medicine. It was just very inspiring that you were seeing more and more of them every year come into integrative medicine.
I'll tell you,
Maybe
I had a
fellowship would be later in their career.
I had a just recently had a shadow, a girl doing pre-med, and I actually just I have to finish her, her the essay for college, for medical school. But she literally came in and worked with me and said, "Oh yeah, I want to go to medical school and I want to specialize in culinary medicine." Right? Like, and it was like, whoa,
That's a
she so
thing.
for Yeah, for people who want to understand that, it's like using food for health, right? And she already is aware. And that was just like so cool to me that the combination of understanding nutrition and food and medicine and health and how it all interrelates. It was so inspiring for me that this newer generation recognizes there's so much more to health. So that's so great. And I'll tell you that I chose the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine, right? I love the fact that that fellowship, we were all equals. There were in my fellowship, we had acupuncturists, we had Ayurvedic, we had psychologists, we had physicians, we had nurses, nurse practitioners, PAs, like everybody worked collaboratively together. It wasn't a hierarchical system. And that to me was so enticing in moving from one system to the other, because at the Arizona they split the systems, or at least when I applied. So I'm curious, when they developed this system, did you notice the difference when Arizona versus AHM, and what have you
Yeah.
noticed doing it that way?
So one of the reasons that I chose to join AIHM at the time I did, there was a lot of different reasons, some on a more personal level, which we won't really dive into, but is because there's also different terms there for that. There's cross-disciplinary, interdisciplinary. AIHM originally called it interprofessional, so that's kind of the term that I stick to and use a
Right, I
lot.
like that word.
And that was, you were with cohort two pretty early on. And so I remember your class and your makeup and some of the people, the pharmacists, the acupuncturists, and the different individuals in your cohort, all really wonderful, amazing individuals, and then as a collective group. So that was one of the reasons why I was drawn to AIHM, because to me, siloing professions and having that hierarchy isn't going to get us to our goal in the healthcare system, in my opinion, in the healthcare system in this country or in the world. I have a personal belief that no single profession owns health or owns medicine, that physicians, nurses, pharmacists, dietitians, mental health providers, health coaches, acupuncturists, chiropractors, physical therapists, they all bring a very valuable perspective and experience and knowledge and tools to the patient, to patient care, essentially. And if they can all collaborate and work together, that is good for them and hopefully decreasing burnout, because you can't do it all. And I think I said no single profession owns health. So let me be kind of backstep just a second, because I think the individual patient, if anybody owns health, it's the individual patient that's in charge of it. And all of those professions that I've just listed and many more are guides and educators for the patient to help make the best choice that they want to make for
I
themselves and that they're ready to make and willing to put the work in at the time.
wholeheartedly agree, and maybe we'll talk about that in the next segment, because yeah, I think we he the patient does the healing and everybody else is the educator, the guide, the tool. And we're going to take our first break, my friends. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. My guest today is April Roman, and we're talking all about integrative health and medicine. So come right back as we talk some more.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul, from neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk. She'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is your healing playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, everybody. Once again, this is your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, you might also enjoy my book of the same name, Your Healing Playground. So please go to my website, drtinaplays.com or Amazon. Just put in there Your Healing Playground, get a copy of the book. You'll learn lessons about healing from me and some of my guests, and support the integrative medicine healing through play concept, and heal yourself and be your best self. And now back to chatting about integrative health and medicine with April Roman. And we were talking about how no one profession owns healing, right? That the patient really is their own guide of what needs healing and how to. So working together, the different healing professions can come together and help the patient. What have you learned by pulling together the curriculum, by pulling together the teachers, and by listening to the practitioners who are learning all about different ways of healing? Because the curriculum is fascinating. You know, we study ancient systems that have been around for a while. And so I'm curious your take on who sits in the curriculum meetings, right? Who gets to choose what we learn, and how did it help you learn? How do you think it helps the practitioners and the patients? That's a loaded question, which means you can really say whatever you want.
Yeah, I got to be honest. Early on, I sat on a curriculum team meetings, taking a lot of minutes and participating a little bit in them. And there's definitely teams of people. You know, a lot of these programs nowadays, and even back 20 years ago, were online. So the content itself is online. So you got IT web developers in those meetings because they got to figure out that end of it. You've got your director of education, your director of your fellowship. You've got leading experts in the different fields that they're experts in from various professions all around the country and the world. And, you know, ideally, good integrative medicine education is going to be based, is going to be evidence-based, right? Research-based. So that's the highest priority. is to get the best people that know the most about the topics you need to teach. The curriculum for board approved by the American Board of Integrative Medicine or Academic Consortium of Integrative Medicine and Health, they recognize fellowships. So anyone that are either recognized or previously or currently board approved, the curriculum is set by those overseeing bodies and the number of hours of each topic is set. So you have to teach so many hours or percentage of 1,000 hours of the fellowship is 1,000 hours. So you have to have a certain number of hours in nutrition, in dietary supplements, botanicals, men's health, women's health, et cetera. So you find the best people, right? If you're leading this and getting this up and running, you find the best people wherever they are. And many of them are graduates of fellowships, you know, earlier on fellowships. So those are now the experts.
I want to interrupt for one.
Yeah.
Because I really want to emphasize what you just said and explain. So evidence-based. So one of the reasons that Western medicine and one of the reasons the physicianing, in a sense, in our country became such a powerful force was due to the fact that these schools were university-based, logic and science-based, and let's prove that these things work. And a lot of the more nutrition and acupuncture were historical-based. We'd been using these for 3,000 or more years, and the proof was in the history, but it wasn't in science-based studies. And so what we're doing with choosing to move forward is, like, there's now studies proving that yoga works. There's now studies looking at acupuncture and health. And so we're taking the scientific method and applying it to ancient things. And so it is giving us evidence-based proof that what has worked for thousands of years for people is truly based in science, even if we don't always understand, like, why does acupuncture work? We're still trying to figure out from a physicality point why it works, the energy, this and that. But we have proof, like literally evidence-based proof. And so I'm bringing this up to people because when it got labeled complementary and alternative, it was because it wasn't science-based. And now it's science-based. And so I just wanted to, like, tweak that because it's very important for people to understand that we still believe in science.
I think, and I'm not going to get this quote exactly right, I heard either somebody say something or read it somewhere. I wish I had more details than that. That, and I feel this too, something along the lines of one of the greatest challenges in healthcare education is helping clinicians and practitioners to remain curious, and that integrate, and in general in life, I think right. That probably ties into a lot about what you talk about around play and things like just remain curious. I tend to ask people a lot of questions and a lot of why questions, and it would drive my teachers nuts. And I'm just not going to ever stop that, because if I stop asking why and asking questions, that means I'm squashing my curiosity. And so, in my opinion, in my experience, and so integrative medicine doesn't ask the practitioners or the clinicians to abandon scientific rigor at all.
Right.
It asks them to expand their perspective, expand their knowledge, expand their tools and resources, and to not only learn some of the scientific and the evidence to back these things up, but to actually, in some of these training programs, they teach, right? The fellowships and other programs, they teach the clinicians to educate their patients. Here's a flyer. Here's a study that shows why this vitamin is going to help you with this. So that the patients now, and now that I'm mentioning patients, I'd like to mention that integrative medicine is also very much a patient-driven field.
Yes, right.
People are asking for this. They are so tired and have been for years of just going into a doctor, listing off a couple of symptoms that won't go away, and just getting their prescription and take this pill for that and slap a Band-Aid on that and cover up those symptoms versus diving in, trying to figure out the root cause of the issue. So I don't know if I answered your question. I kind of went off on a couple of different.
No, I love what you said. And it's root integrative medicine and lots of other therapies are, it is about staying curious, right? And it's, well, why did this happen? You know, and I have my own philosophy. I say Western medicine was name it to tame it. That's Western medicine 1.0. Then medicine 2.0 is feel it to heal it. And medicine 3.0, which is what I am really trying to promote, is collaborate to liberate. Because it's a witnessing and a listening and an opening up of collaborative thinking, patient, doctor, mind, body, like it's all of the things. And then the patient gets free to see where they're going to heal best, right? And I mean, I went to a show last night and it's called the Healing Arts for a reason, right? It was so cathartic for me, the amount of emotion that moved through my body. And like, I just stayed curious and I realized like, oh, I needed that. Like, and so that's not medicine, and yet it's medicine. Like laughter, Patch Adams, right? Laughter is medicine. Joy is medicine. Crying is medicine, you know, and it's releasing stuck energy.
Yes, I agree. I think that we, you know, Western trained, allopathic trained physicians tend to, you know, as we said, diagnose and treat symptoms. I think sometimes I personally have been in a doctor's office and I'm only two sentences into what I'm explaining what I'm there for. And they're already got a diagnosis and a diagnosis code and a test that they know and a lab that they're going to order and a this and a that and a scan. Like, and they're not listening to me anymore. Their brain is already going on to the solution or the answers. And so you're not just in integrative medicine and good medicine. They shouldn't just be asking what's wrong with the patient and, oh, let me diagnose them and here's the treatment. They should be, in my opinion, and I shouldn't should on people. In my opinion, like ask what happened to this patient.
Right.
What matters most to them? Because that is going to help them determine kind of what, and listening and connection, like you said, are huge. We're so busy thinking, a lot of humans are so busy thinking about the answer we're going to say. We stopped hearing what's coming out of the other person's mouth. So those are huge. Those are huge. And what was it? What did you say? Collaborate to liberate?
Yeah, collaborate to liberate.
I love that.
Right? Because when you witness somebody, and we're all guilty. I'm a huge collaborator listener, and I was on a phone consult recently and there wasn't that nonverbal because it was phone. I will never, ever, ever do a phone consult as a new patient ever again, because I guess I wasn't hearing that she wasn't connecting, and it was a bad interaction at the end. And all I do is come from love, but I couldn't hear her because I was speaking too much, I guess. And anyway, it is time for our next break. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. I have with me April Roman of the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine today, AIHM.org, in case you want to check it out. And we'll talk about that more. Come right back as we go even deeper on integrative medicines and why integrative medicine and why it is really the way forward.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, everybody. Once again, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. If you like this podcast, do us a favor, subscribe, share it with friends. Let's get this information out to more and more people so that everyone can be more playful, more bringing more health and more play to the world. And I realized during the break that as much as I try and be an integrative medicine practitioner and now a podcast host, we all have our own agendas, right? My agenda is that people are healthier. I want to help people be healthier, but that puts me in a role of fixer. And I have a ulterior motive, and I shouldn't. Well, again, do we need to have the shoulds or not? But today I'm here as listener to April, and I'm here as listener to bring more information to the world. And when I listen more, the whole point is getting more points of view and understanding, and I have guests so that I can have you, my listeners, have more perspectives to hear about health and wellness. And so I love even reminding me to not bring an agenda with a patient, not bring an agenda with my guests. And just listen to their wisdom, because I truly believe that everybody has the wisdom to heal within themselves and to heal. Everyone can change. If you change one person in the audience today, April, you've saved a life. And that's huge, right? So what I want to ask, right, is we are listening and teaching folks that the patient is at the center of the healing interaction, and the patient should drive the healers should be listening so that they can then fix, right? How has integrative health and medicine, if I can ask, like, changed you and your health and your family's health and your friend's health?
So that's a great question. I think it has in a lot of ways, and I still have a lot to learn.
Don't we all?
I have the knowledge and the tools, but am I applying them to my daily life? I struggle. I'm human. I struggle. Yeah. Like, I didn't get enough sleep. Don't get me started with that. I'm just at that phase in life where 3 a.m. wake ups are a new normal for me. So it's a challenge. I think me being in the field that I've been in as a non-clinician and seeing all these great experts, listening to these talks, going to conferences, hopping in on webinars, reading the curriculum has taught me a lot of information, especially in the vitamins and supplements, dietary supplements and vitamins world. So ideally, we want to get that from food when we can, but the standard American diet lacks that. So I know a lot about that because I've been in a lot of those sessions, and I definitely have some dietary supplements in my daily routine. And it's actually made me, I don't know if this is good or bad, but a much more finicky, particular patient. I'm a pretty harsh, like if I go to a meet and greet or I ask for a meet and greet, like just I don't want to just be a new patient. I actually want to meet this person. I want to see if there's a connection. I've had some really bad experiences with physicians and healthcare providers throughout my life. Unfortunately, I'm sure there's a lot of people have. You guys are humans, okay?
Thank
I
you.
hate to generalize and say that they're physicians. You are humans. Yes, you went to through a lot of rigorous education and crazy training. Don't get me started on residencies and what that does to those that have gone through them. But a particular one that stands out in my mind was an interaction where they were not listening. Not only were they not listening, they were not making eye contact. So when you were talking about the patient, you just took a new patient on a phone and you weren't hearing. You weren't listening, or you weren't hearing what they were saying. You weren't vibing. Call it what you want. But when that person came into the exam room, my first time meeting them, and all they did was just pull that little rolling desk with their laptop as this divider. So now we're divided, and I am so tired of this world being divided and how it's so designed. And I will admit, I am on my phone and on Facebook and social media way more than I know that I should be, but it just puts us all in this me versus you, them versus us. Division, division, everything to high levels in this country divide. So this clinician put this laptop up and just started typing notes and asking, just spewing out questions that I could tell for insurance purposes, they just had to ask that had nothing to do with why I was there. And so I can be kind of critical because I've met hundreds, close to thousands of different practitioners that have come through the different programs that where I've worked. And the ones that you connect with are the ones that you want to share more about yourself with. There's got to be that connection. And so some of the strongest clinicians, they're not the ones that have the best, the highest degrees and all the different credentials after their names. Some of them do. They're the ones that listen. They don't have all the answers, but they're willing to keep asking questions, stay curious, and to listen and to connect with you and to be present. And I know those are all challenges. I mean, it's hard for me to keep my attention on any one thing. I am just like, oh, what's that over there? Oh, wait, I'm in the middle of doing this. Oh, I'm in a Zoom meeting. I am horrible. And people know it. I'm not going to hide or lie. I'm in a lot of Zoom meetings for work. And I'll see my phone over there in the corner of my eye blink, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to turn my camera off. And then I quickly, hey, I'm in a Zoom meeting. I'll call you later. It's like, why do I have to do that? Like, it's okay if I don't respond to that text for like an hour, or two or four, like however, so yeah, listening. And so I feel like I've gone through the fellowship program by now, or a good part of it. And incorporating that into my life is something that I like to do. But again, I'm human. I struggle. It's a challenge every day, right? Especially, unfortunately, in my role, getting out in nature is huge, huge. And I spend so much time on a computer answering emails, phone calls, Zoom meetings. I have to set a timer and go, okay, go outside. take off your shoes, put your feet on the grass, walk around, get dirt in on your toenails. Who cares that you just got a manicure or pedicure this weekend? And just ground yourself and connect and get off the screen. So, yeah.
Thank you. And, you know, we talked in the fellowship a lot about this, but as physicians, the way we were trained, we were beaten down and built back up in a system. And we're not going to talk about that, but that the hierarchy, like, I don't have all the answers. I am a human. I am constantly curious and trying to learn for the benefit of myself and the patient. But we do become a second victim to the system, right? Mm-hmm. Like in 2020, when the concept of separating out racism from systemic racism, mm-hmm. my eyes opened up, right? And then it started and went down the medical field of even, I'm an OBGYN, and the amount of that was learned in OBGYN that showed up from systemic racism and violating women was astronomical. And even how I approach patients right now, kind of funny, but why do we violate bodies for pap smears and exams with another body versus in the lifeguard world? I learned lifeguard, and you went and you literally swam around the person and put them in a head hold and swam them to shore. And we've learned that drowning victims come in twos, because you go and do that to someone and try and save them, you're going to both go down because they're in survival mode, right? And so now they go with a flotation device. Here, you hold this, right? And you don't invade their space. And that's what an ultrasound probe can do to not invade someone's space. It gives a little bit, and to offer the patient, do you want to put this in your body? Hmm. You can do it. I don't have to put it in.
Right.
Right.
The patient is in control at how to do that and when to do it.
Right. And how to allow the patient. Right. So I just invite in, and I'm human. I've invaded people's space. I've done these things because of training, and I have to untrain. Right.
And not just the training, but the system for like insurance reimbursement and the number of, and the big corporations that are now owning and running health care. It's really, that term itself needs a, you know, we need a big, the shift is here. Healthcare, it's disease management, but we're shifting. And I think that something I did want to mention that we haven't gotten to yet is, kind of goes back to part of the curriculum talk, part of what you just said as well, is how so many clinicians come in to the program burnt out. Like they went to school for so many years and spent so much money. I'm talking people that are right out of residency, as well as people that have been practicing for 15, 25 years. They're just burnt out. And so one of the things in a good curriculum that many of the graduates I've worked with and current fellows I've worked with mention, that's their favorite part. There's two things: the retreats, workshops, res weeks, whatever you want to call them, because of community and connection, which is huge. And then the other is the self-care curriculum.
Fabulous.
Because at some point, a lot of people stop taking care of themselves, because you guys, most people go in to this profession because they want to help others. They want to fix others. And then they stop because the way the system is developed, you know, working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, trying to see X number of patients a day. I don't even know what those numbers are to meet your quotas. Sometimes your self-care gets neglected. And I think in society, we're starting to see this shift now. think of self-care as this luxury. Oh, I'm going to go on a vacation. I'm going to go to the spa and get a massage versus ongoing needed maintenance. To me, self-care isn't a luxury for healthcare professionals or anyone in any profession, really, but especially this. Like, it's almost an ethical responsibility.
Oh, I love that. And we have to go and take our last break. But I just love what you just said. If you're going to help people heal, it is an ethical responsibility to care for yourself, to physician heal thyself, any practitioner heal thyself, but ethical responsibility to care for your well-being. How can you promote well-being if you're, I love that wording, ethical responsibility, because yeah, the self-care module was profound, and it's an ongoing need for embodiment of what I learned. And we're going to come back. We have to take our last break. Please come back as we dive deep into that. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. We have April Roman with us today from the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine, AIHM.org. It will be in the show notes. Come right back for our last few minutes.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer. This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Once again, everybody, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. My guest today is April Roman of the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine, and we are talking about the future of healthcare. And I do believe it is the future. It is the way forward is integrating so many ways to heal. And FYI, for all of you who want, on the second Wednesday of every month, I have a fertility masterclass where we talk about integrating multiple modalities to help your fertility. It's not this or that. It's this and that. It's yes and. It is not an indictment of the science and technology that Western medicine is giving us, but it's about integrating that with so much else that is available to us to heal from the inside out. So April, let's go back to the last thing you said, because I just think it is really critical that self-care, you know, having any healthcare provider stay curious and innovative and how healthy they are themselves. And we all are humans on this journey, and we have times in our life where we're more healthy, times in our life where perhaps we fall off the path and we have to get back on. And tell me how, you know, you're working with all different professionals, right? And you're working on healthcare and a new model. And so when people go to choose their practitioners from any modality, right? Perhaps you can give guidance, right? Like you already said, make sure they're listening. Make sure there's a meet and greet. Maybe interview. What do they do for their health care? I don't know. I'd love to hear you. We have about 3 minutes left or so to talk about. What would you encourage patients to do now that you are such an educated consumer, right? You are an educated consumer because you're putting together these programs. So what do you recommend? What do you tell your children to do, right? What do you tell your friends to do when they're going into the healthcare system?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, nowadays there's so many resources at our fingertips, and I hate to say this, but sometimes, look, some people have to go with who is in their insurance. That's an in-network provider. You know, that's one thing. And you can look at online reviews. You can look at Google reviews. Yelp. There's a whole bunch of places. There's a lot of resources that are good, bad, or ugly. You can look up medical license, nursing license. You can see if there's anything that's serious on file sometimes about a practitioner that, you know, you might want to research that. There's a lot of different organizations like AIHM. We have a find a provider. And there's a lot of other organizations and educational systems that have their graduates who choose to list themselves in a find a provider. It's really impossible to vet all of them ourselves, for anyone to do that, to maintain that database, because people are going in and registering themselves as members of the organization. So you have to do your homework and you have to put your time in and look things up. Ask people you know. If you have a great OBGYN, and I know this sounds crazy, but you in the same city want a great dermatologist, ask your OBGYN, like, who do you recommend for dermatology? Like, I get direct referrals and then I do deep dives into researching them and finding out what they're about and seeing sometimes where they went to school. Sometimes that matters to people. Sometimes it doesn't. You can have very intelligent people, very book smart people who know their stuff, but their bedside manners are atrocious and that connection isn't there. And so I do often tell people to also do a meet and greet. And just because you go to an appointment, if you didn't click with that person, that doesn't mean you have to stick with that person. You know, it's hard to find a really good healthcare provider that you want to stick with for years.
And I'm gonna out myself and out my love and hatred for Yelp reviews, Google reviews, because I'm human. And I get fives and ones, right? And it's really interesting because I have folks that I absolutely am the right provider for. And I have folks that either I was off that day, my staff was off that day, or I didn't connect in the, and I am not the provider for you. Because I do challenge folks to do their own healing and not come to me and expect me to fix you. And yet sometimes they also hear that I probably come as a fixer as well. I want everybody to be healthy. And it's fascinating for me. And it, oh my God, the rejection. That's what I do not like rejection. And sometimes I'm not the right provider for a person, or I had a bad day.
You have to have thick skin. And I read a big book like 25 plus years ago, and then more recently, The Four Agreements. And
I love the best, my favorite
don't
book.
Don't take things personally. Like, just don't. It's easier said than done, and it's a practice every day. Like, don't take that personally. That
I love
you just
it.
Weren't the right. Don't. Oh, I'm not a good clinician. No, you guys just didn't hit it off. Don't.
Correct.
That's not your
we
fault.
Need
no one's fault.
Yeah, and I love the four agreements. Don't take it personally. Don't make assumptions. Always do your best, and
give
be
your
impeccable
word.
With your word. And my friends, as we're signing off, Juan Miguel Diaz, the four agreements. are really beautiful guidelines to live by, an ethical responsibility. Make sure your
if you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness, play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine.